This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Raj, I've been promising calls all show. I'm going to get to some. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But I am going to need them on the screen to know where they are. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive. Progressive Insurance. Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. You know who else was ready for anything? The Miami Heat. They were ready for anything. Listen, the Boston Celtics are very good. They really missed Gordon Hayward those first two games, which they lost by one and two possessions. When they got Gordon Hayward back, they won by double digits, and then they lost by a single possession. By the way, let's not forget, every time it looked like Miami was going to put them away, okay, now the game's over. The Celtics came back and hit a shot, and with 1.8 seconds left, Celtics still had a chance to send the game into overtime. Now, credit the Heat, like it had to be a, you know, full court pass, basically, and the Celtics never got a shot off. But still, it's a one-possession game. So with Gordon Hayward, the Celtics are in one game double-digit points better, and in the next game, one possession worse. And yet they're in a 3-1 hole because they didn't have him in the first two games. Now, might they have lost either or both of those games with Gordon Hayward? Yeah. But I think they probably would have won. Maybe not both, but at least one of those first two, a one and two possession game. I'm telling you, Gordon Hayward would probably make the difference in at least one of those games. He's a very good player. And when he was getting minutes that people were lamenting weren't going to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum a couple years ago, last year, the reason was, if you talk to people who followed the team, who covered the team, what they were hearing is the coach needed the passing in the starting lineup. Hayward's a really good all-around player. So I feel my original prediction for this series was Celtics in seven. Had they had Hayward the whole time, I think it would have been a seven-game series. I don't know who would have won. Look, when you say a certain team in seven, who knows? Unless you really think they have one player just better than everyone else. I thought it was a really, really tough series and that the Celtics would eke it out. After not having Gordon Hayward in games one and two, I switched to Miami. Let's call it a seven-game series. But now that they're in a 3-1 hole, the Celtics, even with Hayward, I like Miami in six. I think Miami takes care of them in six at this point. But it's kind of like, it's great that Boston, any team from Boston that loses makes me very happy. But I, as a basketball fan, I feel like Hayward's injury kind of took away what should have been a real nip-and-tuck seven-game series. You know, nevertheless, the thing about Miami right now, and by the way, I'm going to get to Boston because Danny Ainge is a terrific GM, but has not been able to get over the hump since the Big Three, and they won one. Jason Tatum looks to me like the best player on a championship, best offensive player, well, best player on a championship team legitimately in the future, maybe even this year, but I don't think so, especially now down 3-1. But the Heat, and so like when you look at the Celtics, Hayward is on a contract that when he first signed, it was like, really? You're giving Gordon Hayward all that money in Utah? But now, considering what he brings, yeah, I could see that. And Kemba Walker, undersized to defend, but really good offensively. But really, the guys you go forward with, when you look at it, and Marcus Smart is excellent when you need him to be, and Tice is really good. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, two high draft picks, two young guys, two-way players. The Celtics, you thought like they're not their window is not now. But when I looked at the Heat, I thought the window is this year and next year. And I was glad to see Jimmy Butler go there because I thought he and Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra are the right combination. If Jimmy Butler wants his own team, Miami Heat are the kind of team. He's going to outwork everybody, you know, play with more intensity. And Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra appreciate that. That's the kind of organization it is. And when Pat Riley has had overwhelming talent, like Kareem and Magic, he wins the championship on average like every other year. And when he has LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, he wins the championship on average every other year. He won five with Kareem and Magic over a period of not even 10 years. And he won four with LeBron and Wade and Bosh over a period of, he won two rather over a period of 4 years. He wins the championship every other year when you give him talent like that. Wade and Shaq, he won the championship. When you give a Pat Riley team, and it's an Eric Spoelstra team coaching-wise, but Pat Riley's the head of the organization, and Spoelstra is a Riley disciple. When, I don't mean to take any credit away from Coach Spoelstra. Coach Spo, so he doesn't make it sound like he and I really know each other. He's actually a big boxing fan, Spoelstra. But Pat Riley, to take no credit away from him, but it, I mean, like, Pat Riley runs the show, you know. And even when he doesn't have that, like, when he has the next level down talent, right? Like, great all-star talent, but not MVP talent. Patrick Ewing never won an MVP, and he never played with another guy who's on that level either. Pat Riley got that team to within a hair of a championship. Tim Hardaway and Alonzo Mourning, both, like, hard-working all-stars, but neither quite an MVP, and they were a playoff powerhouse. Even when they got eliminated early, it was by a very good Knicks team, and they were a playoff powerhouse. You knew. I was a Knicks fan. I knew when we played Miami, oof, that's going to be a brutal series. So Jimmy Butler, I looked at, like, he's that kind of, he's like more like Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, something like that, than you know, LeBron James or Magic Johnson or Shaquille O'Neal or someone like that, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And so they'll have a chance this year, a funky kind of bubble year, right? And given how good the team is, and how well they started to play, they had a chance. But I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought it could happen. I didn't pick it to happen. But at any rate, I thought maybe they could maybe steal one in one of those weird NBA years that happens every 15 years or so, usually with the Pistons, sometimes with the Mavericks, as it turns out. But I didn't see it as built to last. Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic are the best players on the team, and they're at least entering into the year, and they're older. They're not young players. And Bam is young, but in a league that really values shooting, he's not that kind of player. He's not that kind of player. But the emergence of Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson's not just a three-point shooter. He can shoot the lights out and from distance. You know, it's funny because you just think, oh, that's the, you think of a team, you go, that's the three-point specialist, that's the, this is the 3-and-D guy, this is the, but there are levels to even those kind of complementary roles. And the level that Duncan Robinson could shoot is different. Not that many guys shoot like that, period, ever. Tyler Hero, I saw, is not as good a shooter, but a better overall player. And maybe eventually he'd be like a really good, like above-average starter. He played like a superstar last night, and he's 20 years old. You saw it just then with the passing. You saw it with the Euro step. You saw it with the three-point shooting. You saw it with the clutch free throws, taking guys off the dribble. That dude played like a superstar. He was the best player on the floor, either team. And his team won. Tatum got hot late, but was kept down early. But the point is, now I look at the Miami Heat and I go, ooh, Tyler Hero, that's a little different. And Bam Adebayo, it's not just that right now they're dangerous with Butler and Dragic. It's that they're set up going forward, too. The East has gotten good. Masai's still with the Raptors. They're going to be good. The Bucks are going to be good. The Celtics are going to be good. And the Heat are going to be good. And Indiana's been snake bit, but that's a good organization, too. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. On the line right now, Damian Woody joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Damian.
Max, you forgot the Brooklyn Nets, man.
Did I? The Brooklyn Nets. I mean, if KD comes back as 80% of himself, that's Paul George, right? And Paul George is looked down on now, but he's a very good player. And Kyrie Irving and another all-star, let alone if KD comes back as KD, to go with, like, Dinwiddie and LeVert, that team, and you got a guy in Steve Nash who KD loves, that's going to be a whole lot of two. Oof. The East is all of a sudden very tough. I mean, the NBA is just amazing. Damian, we had you on First Take today, actually talking about the Breonna Taylor verdict and social justice and what more athletes can do. Before we start talking any NFL, you care to let people know how you feel about it?
Yeah, it's it's frustrating, man. It's frustrating that an innocent bystander could be shot and killed while she was sleeping in her own home, and some of the comments, some of the things that are said is, it just makes me wonder about some people. Do you really value life? And as it relates to the athletes, what more can athletes do? I think the NBA, the WNBA, the NFL, I think they're all taking the right approach. They're using their platform. Remember, there was all the discussion about whether we should play, not play as far as the NBA bubble. And ultimately, they came to the conclusion that, listen, we have a huge platform with this whole bubble. Let's take advantage of it. And I think, some of the top players in the league, from LeBron and all these other guys, and I know like our own Kendrick Perkins is part of the campaign of using, getting these teams to use their arenas to, for, voting precincts. And I think that's the biggest thing is, in order for things to change, we talked on First Take about no-knock warrants and some of the other laws that played a role in this tragic situation. In order for those things to change, you got to change the laws, and you got to vote. You got to vote the people in that you want to represent you. And I always tell people, and I think athletes are doing a good job of projecting the message. If you don't vote, the next person will. The next person will take your space in the vacuum, and that change that you've been talking about or complaining about will never happen if you don't exercise your constitutional rights. So
before we move on to football, Damian, I want to let me just say this to piggyback off what you're saying. The people, the really white people in the South who required the United States to leave federal troops there to make sure that they respected United States law after the Civil War, that's called Reconstruction, those people resisted black rights for African Americans so hard that we wound that they actually won. That the federal troops eventually left, and there was Jim Crow, and they were successful in essentially turning black people into a non-entity politically. There were basically no black voters in the South. There were plenty of black people who wanted to vote, but they were purged from voter rolls through many just immoral tactics and unethical tactics, and whether or not they were legal, because sometimes they weren't. And for people who are mad today, just consider – there are people still, and sometimes they're successful through gerrymandering and other tactics politically and legal tactics, who are trying to erase you politically. They're trying to make sure that you don't count. We're talking about African-American voters. They're trying to make sure you don't count. You're going to let them win or not? You're going to vote or not? Got to vote. Damian, I want to talk some, unless you have a closing thought there, which you please do if you'd like to make one, then we'll move on to football.
Let's talk some ball, man.
Yeah, yeah. And I have one more thought, and then we'll talk ball. We saw pictures of the WNBA. They deserve a lot of credit. The women in the WNBA, a lot of African American women in the WNBA. Have done an outstanding job.
Max, they've been at the as much as we talk about the NBA, WNBA has been at the forefront.
They've been at the forefront. Black women been at the forefront. And talk about a group that people have tried with all their might to get not to count. And, might go ahead and save the Republic. All right, Damian, let's move on to football. Let's start with the big one. Cowboys, Seahawks, Dak versus Russell Wilson. What do you see?
Well, first of all, right now, Russell Wilson is playing out of his skull. But what else is new? But I think this year, it just seems like Russell Wilson is just taking it to another notch. He's my front runner for the MVP. This is a Seahawks team that's a run-first team. Run-first. But Russell Wilson, being the quarterback that he is, has elevated everyone around him. Everyone. He's not the type of guy that's going to put himself in harm's way running the football. He's always looking to try to make the big play downfield. So he's not like some of these other guys running around and all those type of things. He's running to try to make a big play down the field. Very accurate, best deep ball throw in the league. That's what you're getting from the Seahawks. Oh, and Jamal Adams. How could I forget Jamal Adams?
That's why I took the Seahawks to get out of the NFC, Damian, because that once you get it, like you saw what Micah Fitzpatrick did to the Steelers defense last year, and usually like you don't change Super Bowl odds based on the acquisition of a safety. But when you're a special player like Jamal Adams, once the Seahawks picked him up, I thought I like them to come out of the division, out of the conference.
Yeah, I mean, they're my Super Bowl pick right now. As far as the Cowboys are concerned, listen, they have the miraculous comeback against the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, everyone has talked ad nauseum about that, but I still need to see more from Mike McCarthy. That offense, with all the weaponry that they have, they're sputtering. They don't look in sync what I thought they would, you know, would be. I thought the play calling would be more imaginative. It hasn't been. But we are in September, so it's still kind of like a training camp mode. But I think the Seahawks the Seahawks are the best team in the NFC, in my opinion.
Well, look,
they're the best team in the NFC.
People weren't knocking down Mike McCarthy's door to hire him as head coach. The fact that they got good press hiring him seems to me that the Cowboys are like, who can we get with enough respect that many in the media will like it, but that we can still control, right? And the whole point of the Cowboys is, as long as Jerry Jones' ego is out of control, they will never win a Super Bowl. It just won't happen. They won't do what's necessary. Okay, here's the real big one over the weekend. It's week three, but Ravens and Chiefs. Ravens look like the best team in football, or damn near it, recently. And Kansas City has had, you know, they squeak by a come-from-behind victory against the Chargers. Who do you like in that matchup Monday night?
Man, I like Baltimore. I like Baltimore. Baltimore's playing the best football in the league through 2 weeks. Lamar Jackson, man. All the questions that people had about Lamar Jackson, people should shut up now. Like, this dude is playing so good from the neck up. We all know about, you know, the type of athlete and his run ability. Everybody knows that. But when you watch him now as a passer, he is clearly one of the top quarterbacks in the league as far as diagnosing plays pre-snap and post-snap and knowing where to go with the football, and more importantly, being accurate with the football. And so you combine that with the rushing attack that they have, the defense that plays behind them, they're a tough team. And as far as Kansas City is concerned, listen, you got Patrick Mahomes. You can win any game that's on the schedule.
That's what I'm
saying. But the one thing I see from the Chiefs right now, they're not winning on early downs. You know, in first down, last year they were second in the league. This year they're 17th. That makes it that much harder to convert on third down. And, Max, they only have 5 explosive plays so far this season.
And their defense hasn't looked good.
Yeah. So, I get it. It's early, but they got work to do.
And when Patrick Mahomes is down double digits in the fourth quarter, it's like the Denver Nuggets. He has you right where he wants you. The great Damian Woody, ladies and gentlemen, at Damian Woody, D-A-M-I-E-N, Woody, W-O-O-D-Y, at Damian Woody. Damian Woody tweets a lot and stuff. Here's something that you don't notice from many people. I've never seen him tweet one stupid thing. Like, you, thousands of tweets. Everyone tweets some stupid stuff. Everything he says is smart. Thursday Night Football. Yeah, Raj, thanks a lot for not including the Thursday night games in our DraftKings league. That's really great.
Dude, do you want a chance to win? Or what was it done for you?
But the point is, it gets me more.
Who are you going to pick from Miami or Jacksonville? Who are you going to pick?
Miami. Miami. I think you're Miami's a little better than people realize right now, actually.
No, what player on DraftKings would you possibly pick from those games for you?
Well, I don't know, but it would get me interested a little bit more.
All right, well, I'm still interested.
It's not exactly a scintillating matchup, Raj.
It's a battle of Florida, Max.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
What? What?
What is it? Allie's in the room again, man. I have no responsibility Allie, for this doing? One. I don't know. Just talk real loud and try and talk over it.
Allie, what's your last name?
Ooh.
My last name is Bronson.
Wait, say it again? Say it again? I couldn't hear.
Bronson.
Bronson.
Yes.
It's the Allie Bronson Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app,
today.
And SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Listen, I'll give Allie some credit. Every genre of music, even if it's not my favorite, you can hear when it's a good example of something and not as good example of something. That sounded fine. It's not like I'm not choosing to listen to it, but I could see where someone might like that. They really got nothing else to do at all and maybe have incurred some damage to their sense of hearing, perhaps. I don't know. It's up to you, Allie, whatever you like. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Whose song? Who did that song, Allie?
That would be me.
No, Jake? No. Who made the song?
That was Public Enemy.
Yeah, that was Public Enemy.
Harder than you think.
Baker Mayfield hopes to build on a connection with Odell Beckham Jr. Is this in reaction to me saying yesterday, you know what, they got to send Odell to New England or Green Bay? It's still an open question as to whether the Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield and wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. will be able to build the kind of chemistry they need. But Baker Mayfield's hoping last week's 43-yard touchdown pass is the start of changing the conversation. Quote, yeah, I think so, Mayfield said via Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. We had a few more completions last Thursday, so just to continue to build that, get the ball in his hands and let him make plays. Baker, it's over with Odell. You've had enough time with Odell, you're not doing anything with him. You guys don't have a connection. How long are you supposed to, spend his entire prime trying to build a connection with you? And what's going to happen now? Baker Mayfield said, see how out in front of everything I am, Raj?
Put me up. Yeah, I see you.
The problem is, it's very difficult. It's like you can't, you know, once you're as important a voice as mine, as mm-hmm. I have, Raj, once it's that important, then you can't tell if your commentary is actually changing things. Then you got to react to stuff that's changed because of what you've said. It's too much power and responsibility for me, Raj.
I don't know how you do it.
But the point is, the reason I brought up Odell, like the Browns, thinking about getting rid of him while they can still get a lot for him, not that Odell still won't be good a year from now, it's that once it's known this ain't working, it's a distressed asset, and you will get less for him than you would have. So I'm thinking, put him with Cam Newton and Bill Belichick. It's Cam Newton, really. If it was so obvious Cam Newton was going to be good, why is he making $2.3 million this year? Because no one wanted to give him the job. Who wanted to give him a starting job? Only Bill Belichick. He's like, you fools are leaving Cam Newton out there? I get him for free? All right. Odell Beckham, he's not the kind of guy you want on your team. Really? Why did Bill Belichick want him? Put Odell with Cam Newton. Oh, my God. Matter of fact, don't. Because I hate the Patriots and all Boston teams. Don't do that. Send him to Green Bay. Send him to Wisconsin. Send him to Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my God. Have you seen what Aaron Rodgers has looked like? You know what he would do with Devontae Adams and Odell Beckham Jr.? Ugh. Green Bay, mess around, win the whole thing. He ain't going to have no connection with Baker. It's been, you know, how many years does he need with Baker? It's been, you know, a year and two games so far and still no. Hopefully we'll build something. No, you won't. Ansh, is that your name? A-N-S-H. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes, it is. How are you doing, Max?
Good. How are you doing?
So I want to talk about the Lakers. I think it's going to be a breakout game for LeBron. I think he's going to go plus 35 points and triple-double.
Yeah, I see that too. He had a triple-double with 30 points, just about a triple-double, maybe thereabouts, in game three, and didn't have a great game by his standards. The expectations are very high for him. But yeah, I think LeBron's going to go off because I think he senses the danger posed by this Nuggets team. Marty in Pennsylvania, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a longtime fan. The pro athletes' reaction to the Brianna decision, what do you say to the people like myself who think that they completely disregard and disrespect the people who served on the grand jury, who swore an oath to deliberate the case based on the evidence and the law?
Well, I would say that juries have been, grand juries and otherwise, have been charged with faithfully doing their duty to the law, you know, by the law throughout American history. And there's a reason why if you're a black person, you don't want an all-white jury, because they seem to deliver a certain brand of justice. And I would also say, to act as though it's a dereliction of duty by the grand jury. The grand jury doesn't, maybe sometimes it is, but also a grand jury doesn't operate in a vacuum. Why? It's interesting because whenever one of these cases becomes public and they're big, they're emotive issues and they become rallying cries. And by the way, as I say, police interactions with communities of color, it's not the number one social justice issue. It's the one that's maybe most useful, but mass incarceration and criminal justice reform, in my view, much more important, actually. But those are big kind of issues that are difficult to get people to rally around because you need clear examples. Now, oftentimes, people will take an example and either vilify the victim. One time they jaywalked, it's one time they spat on the sidewalk. Oh my God, they got what's coming to them, right? Or else they'll talk about how actually, yes, this is not an example of a miscarriage of justice, but it never seems to be, right? Never. It is always a reason. Well, in this case, but we know that that's not the case. In fact, there are very different outcomes for black people and white people.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Got to do my Heisman pick. Trevor Lawrence. I take Trevor Lawrence. I thought that was going to be the difference in the national title game last year. I was like, this dude was like, you know, he'd sliced and diced Alabama. I thought he looked like Deshaun Watson, but more accurate. You know, like he was a better, like he had that same mojo that Deshaun Watson had, but an even better quarterback at an earlier age. But he was completely outplayed. Joe Burrow was the answer in that game. But also Trevor Lawrence was quite young. You know, like he when you get good real fast, when you're really good, really young, a lot is expected of you. But I like what I see from Trevor Lawrence a couple years ago. Last year, early in the season, he's struggling a little bit. I remember he threw a pick, made a tackle in the open field. I like the cut of his jib. I have to see this what happens this weekend with the SEC back. All right. Heisman Protection is brought to you by Allstate.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
I've brought it up twice in this show. I brought it up once on First Take, but I think it's important. The Breonna Taylor decision is a lot of people. This is a entertainment and sports programming network, right? ESPN. We cover sports, but the sports world has been rocked by this verdict. Not surprised. People are used to it, but rocked by it, particularly. What's going on right now, like what's happening deep into the NBA playoffs, and the NBA and especially the WNBA has taken a lead on social justice issues and Breonna Taylor in particular. So I would say, again, where do I start? There's a lot, but I'll just remind people. After slavery, when black people were slaves in this country, there was something called Reconstruction, for the passing of the 14th Amendment. It says equal protection under the law. You have to, like, black people get to be treated like people. The U.S. government had to leave troops in states in the South because the South refused to treat black people like people. They thought they were chattel. They had just been. Had to leave troops. That was called Reconstruction. Didn't work. Eventually they left, and the South won that battle, unfortunately. And we had an era called the Jim Crow. Jim Crow laws were laws that made it, among other things, made it very difficult for black people to vote. It purged black people from voter rolls. And so you went from high participation at the end of slavery, right? Oh, we get to vote. Great. To virtually no voting. But the voter rolls, like in the single thousands in a lot of southern states, because they'd been erased. Black people in the South had been erased as a political entity with no political power. They were not allowed to vote. And Plessy versus Ferguson, I'm sure you've heard about, you know, separate but equal. Oh, it's okay for the South. It's separate but equal. Black people could be separate schools, separate transportation, separate everything, but they're equal. No, but they were unequal, of course, because they were underfunded, et cetera. And not until really the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I mean, gradually progress was made. But finally it was like, oh, you gotta stop. Every party's over down there for the white people with bad intentions. And there were a lot of them. If you're mad about what happened to Breonna Taylor or the lack of justice, if you feel that there has been a lack of justice in that case, as with so many others, vote. Vote, because I want to tell you something. The same forces that drove those white people I'm discussing in the South and during Jim Crow to make sure black people were politically erased are trying to do the same thing now. They're trying to suppress the vote. They're trying to purge rolls of African American voters. They're trying to make your vote count less when you can vote and make it more difficult for you to vote in the first place. Want to let them win? If you're angry today, vote. Don't be erased. There's other things that can happen too, as Carl Douglas pointed out earlier in this show, civil rights attorney. You can, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time. There are other ways to participate, but the most important is to vote. Lakers Nuggets, game four tonight. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, Chiney and Golic Jr. coming right up.
Thanks for listening to The Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.